recorder going here. And make sure that's working. Looks like it is. So let's continue on. Today will be study number 6 in a series that I've entitled God's Eternal Purpose. And as you've heard me say many times already, or at least at the beginning of every one of the studies so far, this is a study of things to come. This is a study that we hope to, with the participation and input of the entire group, try to put together a listing kind of loosely based on Appendix 198 in the back of the Companion Bible of things that are coming in God's plan and purpose. And that appendix in the back of the Companion Bible is one of the better kind of overall outlines I've seen of God's eternal purpose. Now, of course, it has, there's some things in there that I think need to be studied out a little bit more. Some parts of that I don't understand as good as others. And several studies ago, I went and took us over to Ecclesiastes. And in the book of Ecclesiastes, it reminds us that God expects things that have already been. That which shall be hath been, and that which hath been shall be. There's kind of a reciprocal to that. And in knowing and understanding that, I thought it would behoove us to go back and to look at the upper part of the outline, the things that have already come to pass with God, and those section outlines, I like to call them. And we've already been through A through E, and today we're going, and last week we began in F, the chosen nation, called and blessed. Now, the bulk of the Old Testament is about the chosen nation, called and blessed. If you basically pick up at Genesis 12, the story or the account of all the things that befall the nation of Israel, their travels, their prophets, the period of time they spend under the judges, their history, the lineage, all these things are recorded in these books from Genesis 12, where God made the covenants to Abraham, all the way up to Malachi chapter 4, verse 6 at the end of the Old Testament. And of course, we as believers in right division know that God is not through with the nation of Israel at the end of the Old Testament. It literally picks up in the New Testament with the birth of the Savior, the Messiah, the one that's sent to the nation of Israel to redeem his people. He came to his own, and remember, his own received him not. And then even through the book of Acts, we have more history of God's dealing with the nation of Israel, and of course the Apostle Paul, the grafting in of the Gentiles and all those things, all the way down to the 28th chapter of the book of Acts. So I think literally if you carry the history of the nation of Israel out through its logical conclusion, that literally it would stretch from Genesis 12 all the way over to Acts, the 28th chapter, all the way through the book of Acts. So you can agree with that or disagree with that, but for study purposes and what we're doing today, and with keeping with the outline, I believe that it's going to be okay to let's just stick with Genesis 12 through Malachi 4:6. So as we left, let me read this too. This is our, as you probably already picked up, this is our study purpose. And our purpose with this study is to form a list of coming events in Scripture with group participation so that we, as members of His body, can better understand God's eternal purpose and where we fit into it. Barney pointed out very clearly this morning that God established the earth, that He created it to be inhabited, that He did not create it waste, that He created the earth to be inhabited, and certainly it was, but the earth is not all of God's adornment. The earth is not the only thing within God's cosmos. I believe it contains within within creation all things, heaven and earth, that God has created. And certainly God's reconciliation is not just for those on the earth, but it certainly, I believe, is for all of creation as well. Have you ever wondered this? When sin befell Adam, that the curse of sin not only cursed Adam, that he would die, but remember there were curses placed upon the ground. And I think it's noteworthy to mention that even though the animals did not sin, that because they were under the dominion of Adam, they too experience death. That animals age and die just like people do, although they did not sin in the garden as did Adam. When Adam chose willingly to get his information from another source, to have communion with something else, to believe the word of some other being other than his creator. And I think it's noteworthy to, it's a good way to put it, Gary. It's kind of collateral damage over what, of the curses that God placed not only on Adam, but evidently the whole ground, even the animals that were on the ground, were cursed as well. So I think Barney did good in bringing it up. God has an eternal purpose. And part of that eternal purpose is going to be the reconciliation of all these things, so that when we get to the end of everything, God is once again all, and not only all, but in all. And that's where we're going with this. That's the whole premise, the whole point of this entire study. And hopefully you can understand that and know and understand where we're going with most of this study. So, in picking up again today with the chosen nation called and blessed, after the Exodus, of course, and we read about the Exodus, I think that's the point that we got up to last week. After the Exodus, the Pharaoh, remember, as you remember, God hardened his heart again, and he pursues Israel all the way to the edge of the Red Sea. Well, then you remember the account where Moses raised his hand over the waters, and the waters of the Red Sea just part. And it says that the children of Israel walked across those waters on dry land. And of course, as the Pharaoh pursued them, they, just like their arrogance would lead them to do, they went charged right out into that water. And the scripture says that God destroys them by just letting the water collapse right back in on them. And I've seen websites that show pictures of decaying chariots at the bottom of where they think that they figured out where this is. Now, if you go to Wikipedia, Wikipedia will very quickly tell you, well, there's no archaeological proof that this took place. But I certainly believe that it did. I don't need a video of a chariot on the bottom of the Red Sea to show me this. I believe it took place regardless because the Word says it. But there are those that require, you got to see it on TV if it's going to be real truth. And boy, nothing could be further from the truth. Although in this case, I believe that there literally is physical archaeological evidence to support this. So that's the next part of our account here. You remember when they left, they're pursued all the way to the edge of the Red Sea. God parts the waters. Moses carries the people across. And as the armies, the 600 chariots of the Pharaoh pursue them and they get out in the middle of the water, guess what? God removes his hand and thus the water, boom, collapses in on them and they are gone. They are done in. They're no more. So, shortly after that, the next step is God's covenant with Israel and the giving of the commandments. Now, we have to stop here for just a little bit, and go over some of this. Turn with me, if you would, this morning to Genesis chapter 19, and I want to read verses 1 through 25 of Genesis chapter 19. Or am I right? Genesis 19, 1 through 25. Or do I have that wrong? I believe I must have. No, I've got it. That should be Exodus chapter 19. I'm sorry. I don't know why I was I don't know why I was thinking that was in Genesis. Let me correct my notes here so I won't. I apologize for that. I was flipping back and forth. And evidently, my eye was a little, my eye was a little quicker than my hand. No, Tony, not trying to make you look bad. And, but yeah, I do make mistakes occasionally and, frequently as a matter of fact. Exodus chapter 19, let's read 1 through 25. It says, in the third month when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. So now they're out of Egypt in the wilderness of Sinai. It says, for they were departed from Rephidim and were come into the desert of Sinai and had pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount. And Moses went up unto God, verse 3, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, they have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now, I want you to note right here that God says, I brought the nation of Israel out of Egypt. Because when he comes down, when Moses comes down from the mountain later on in the account, in another account, and finds the children of Israel worshiping a golden calf that they made, then he says, Moses, you need to see what these children that you brought out of Egypt have done. So it's a little bit different when they're, you know, when they're not doing as they were supposed to do, as they had agreed with God to do. When they didn't do it, God says, Moses, your children that you brought out. But here I want you to note that he says in verse 4, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Therefore, he says, now therefore, verse 5, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. Yes, God does have the right to choose. You do not have the power to take God's ability to choose away from him. And it doesn't matter if you like it or don't like it or think it's fair or what. It doesn't matter. The scripture says it. It's yea and amen. And that's the way God did it. People tear me up second guessing whether God has the right to choose or not. That's the most absurd thing that I've ever heard of in my life. Or trying to pass judgment on whether that's fair or not. We don't get that kind of latitude. We do not sit in a position to judge God. To do so, I think, is foolish. And maybe even a little risky. It says in verse 6, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And I want to read down through verse 25. It says, and Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. And all the people answered together, listen to this. All the people answered together and said, all that the Lord hath spoken, what? We will do. And here's the covenant that God made with Moses and with the children of Israel. And they said, they agreed. They said, everything, Moses, that the Lord has said, we will do. And it says, and Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. He passed on what they said to the Lord. And the Lord, verse 9, said unto Moses, lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear, when I speak with thee, and believe thee forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Moses, verse 10, go unto the people, and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes, and be ready against the third day. For the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. And thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, take heed to yourselves, that ye go not up into the mount, and touch the border of it, Whosoever toucheth the mount shall be surely put to death. You could stand outside it, but you couldn't touch it. Verse 13, there shall not a hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through, whether it be beast or man, it shall not live. When the trumpet soundeth long, they shall come up to the mount. So here's the instructions to the people. Moses went down, verse 14, from the mountains of the people, and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. And he said to the people, be ready against the third day. Come not at your wives. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. Can you imagine living through this and seeing this spectacle? Can you imagine witnessing what they're witnessing? Verse 17, and Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the nether part of the mount. And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire. And the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai, verse 20, on the top of the mount, and the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up. And the Lord said unto Moses, go down, charge the people, lest they break through unto the Lord to gaze, and many of them perish. And let the priest also, which come near to the Lord, sanctify themselves, lest the Lord break forth upon them. And Moses said unto the Lord, the people cannot come up to Mount Sinai, for thou chargest us, saying, set bounds about the mount, and sanctify it. And the Lord said unto him, away, get thee down, and thou shalt come up, thou and Aaron with thee, but let not the priests and the people break through to come up unto the Lord, lest he break forth upon them. So Moses went down unto the people and spake to them. So that's the account of Moses and the Lord descending down upon the mount. And basically here you have the covenant with Israel, and then you have the giving of the commandments. Now, you'll see the giving of the commandments in Exodus chapter 20 through 31, and we're obviously not going to read chapters 20 through chapter 31, but these are the commandments and the judgments that God gave to Moses to give to the people, to give to the children of Israel. And if you want to go back and look at them, that's in chapters 20, Exodus 20 through Exodus 31. Those are the commandments and the judgments. So, Israel is going to spend 40 years in the wilderness. And during this time, the Levitical law is going to be given. They're going to fight several battles. And then we're going to get over to the book of Deuteronomy. So turn with me over to the book of Deuteronomy. And I've got a note written at the top of the book of Deuteronomy on the top page of page 1. That this takes place after the 40 years in the wilderness, before the crossing of the Jordan River. And what you have in the book of Deuteronomy are the final instructions and warnings of Moses to the people before entrance into the promised land. Now, turn with me over to Deuteronomy chapter 34. And you will find in Deuteronomy 34 the death of Moses recorded. Deuteronomy 34. I want to read the whole chapter of Deuteronomy 34. It says, and Moses went up from the plains of Moab unto the mountain of Nebo to the top of Pisgah that is over against Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead unto Dan, and all Naphtali in the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, and all the land of Judah unto the utmost sea. Now see, God had already cordoned off what parcels of land what tribe would receive. God had already divided the land unto the children of Israel. And he set the borders thereof. So he's got Moses and he takes him up on this mountain. And Moses can see all this land that God has given him. But now remember, the Canaanites are already in the land. They're already there. All the people that God don't want in the land are already there. So he carries Moses up and he shows him all this land. And it says in verse 3, in the south and the plains of the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees unto Zoar. And the Lord said unto Moses, now listen to this. He said, this is the land. Remember, I'm going to give you a land and seed as the sands of the seas and the stars of the sky. He said, this is the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thy seed. He said, I have caused thee to see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not go over thither. And you remember Moses was not allowed to go into the land because of one of his transgressions against the Lord. Something that he did he wasn't supposed to do. So Moses got to see the promised land, but he wasn't going to be the one to carry the children of Israel into the promised land. So it says, so Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him. He being who? Who buried Moses? God buried Moses.
Why
is that not capitalized? Yeah, he is capitalized because God. God buried Moses. It is in my Bible. Yeah, in the companion Bible, he is capitalized. He buried him in the valley in the land of Moab over against Beth Peor, but no man knoweth of his sepulcher unto this day. And you remember that Michael the archangel wouldn't even bring a railing accusation against Satan when he contended with him over the body of Moses. See, when Moses died, guess who wanted Moses' body? Satan wanted Moses' body so he could speak through it. Isn't that something? Satan wanted to have Moses' dead body so he could animate it and talk through it, I believe. That's the only reason that I can think of, and if you have another one, I am all ears. But that's the only reason I can think of that Satan would have to want the body of Moses, because the scripture records that even Michael didn't bring a railing accusation against Satan about that, but he said the Lord will rebuke it. Then God took care of it. God took the body and buried it in a place that nobody knows.
I didn't know that he was so old when he died.
Yeah, well, it says, that's a good point. It says he buried him in the valley, verse 6, in the land of Moab over against Beth Peor, but no man knoweth of his sepulcher unto this day. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. 120 years old. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. That means he didn't get old and feeble and couldn't see and was half deaf like I am even now. You know, I'm sitting here wearing glasses just so I can see good enough to read the scripture in the computer screen. But when Moses died at 120, all his faculties were working just fine. It said he didn't lose any of his mental capabilities. His eyes were not dim. He was okay. And the children of Israel, verse 8, wept for Moses in the plain of Moab 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him. See, Moses, in a way, had transferred the spirit, I think, over to Joshua. He had given over what God had given him to Joshua. And the children of Israel hearkened unto him and did as the Lord commanded Moses. And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. God spoke to Moses face to face. He would call him up on the mountain and he would discuss and give Moses the words to give to the people face to face. I want you to note that. That there wasn't another one like Moses in all the days of the nation of Israel. In all the signs and wonders, verse 11, which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land. And in all that mighty hand and in all the great terror which Moses showed in the sight of all Israel. All the things that Moses did and that Moses said, he was the greatest among all the prophets that the Lord had given. Because he gave Moses all the law and all the commandments. All these things gave the Lord to Moses. So, we find in Deuteronomy 34 the record of the death of Moses. So now, as you read, Joshua is going to take over. And he's going to lead the people of Israel. Turn with me to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. I want to read verses 1 through 18 so that we can kind of successfully pass the torch here. And I'm getting long on time. It says in Joshua 1:1, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hivites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. I will not fail you or forsake you, as God said. He said, be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. He said, have not I commanded thee? That's in verse 9. I'm going to read down through 18. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the host, and command the people, saying, prepare your victuals. For within 3 days you shall pass over this Jordan, this is over the Jordan River, to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. And to the Reubenites, and to the Gadites, and to the half-tribe of Manasseh spoke Joshua, saying, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God hath given you rest, and hath given you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side Jordan. But ye shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them. See, some of the tribes had land on one side of the Jordan, and the others were promised land on the other side. Until the Lord, verse 15, have given your brethren rest, as he hath given you, and they also possess the land which your God giveth them. Then you shall return unto the land of your possessions and enjoy it, which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side of Jordan toward the sun rising. So see, just because their inheritance that was already in hand, it didn't need to be fought for, it didn't mean that they could just sit back and not help the rest of them. They had to go fight just like the ones that were fighting for their inheritance. You understand that? They had to put in their part. Verse 16. And they answered Joshua, saying, all that thou commandest us we will do, and whithersoever thou sendest us we will go. According as we hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee as he was with Moses. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment and will not hearken unto thy words and all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. So you had to obey the words of Joshua the son of Nun, or the officers would put you to death. He said, only be strong and be of a good courage. Now, the possession of the land is recorded in Joshua 11, or at least the possession of some of the land is recorded in Joshua 11, 6 through 23. So turn over quickly with me over to Joshua 11, because I am running out of time. And let's read 6 through 23 of Joshua 11. It says, and the Lord said unto Joshua, now this is after they've already been through Jericho and fought several other battles with the people of this land, all the kings of this promised land that they were given. And this is after that fact. It says, and the Lord said unto Joshua, be not afraid because of them, for tomorrow about this time will I deliver them up, all slain before Israel. Thou shalt hoe their horses and burn their chariots with fire. So Joshua came, and all the people of war with him against them by the waters of Merom suddenly, and they fell upon them. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of Israel, who smote them and chased them unto the great Zidon and unto Misrephothim, and under the valley of Mizpah eastward, and they smote them until they left them none remaining. Joshua did unto them as the Lord bade him. He bowed their horses and burnt their chariots with fire. And Joshua at that time turned back and took Hazor, and smote the king thereof with the sword. And Hazor before time was the head of all these kingdoms. And they smote all the souls that were therein with the edge of the sword, utterly destroying them, and there was not any left to breathe, and he burnt Hazor with fire. And all the cities of those kings, and all the kings of them, did Joshua take and smote them with the edge of the sword, and he utterly destroyed them, as Moses the servant of the Lord commanded. But as for the cities that stood in their strength, Israel burned none of them, save Hazor only, that did Joshua burn. And all the spoil of these cities and the cattle and the children of Israel took for a prey unto them to themselves. But every man they smote with the edge of the sword until they had destroyed them, neither left they any to breathe. Verse 15, as the Lord commanded Moses his servant, so did Moses command Joshua, and so did Joshua. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord commanded Moses. So Joshua took all the land, the hills, and all the south country, and all the land of Goshen, and the valley of the plain, and the mountain of Israel, and the valley of the same, even from the Mount Halak that goeth up to Seir, even unto Baal-Gad, in the valley of Lebanon, under Mount Hermon, and all their kings he took, and smote them, and slew them. Joshua made war a long time with all those kings. There was not a city, verse 19, that made peace with the children of Israel, save the Hivites, the inhabitants of Gibeon. The other they took in battle. For it was of the Lord to harden their hearts that they should come against Israel in battle, that he might destroy them utterly, and that they might have no favor. But that he might destroy them as the Lord commanded Moses. And at that time came Joshua, verse 21, and cut off the Anakims from the mountains, from Hebron and from Debir and from Anab and from all the mountains of Judah and from all the mountains of Israel. Joshua destroyed them utterly with their cities. There was none of the Anakims left in the land of the children of Israel. Only in Gaza, in Gath, and in Ashdod there remained. Now remember that in Gath, and you remember Og, the king of Bashan, is one of the giants that's going to be mentioned later on in the scripture. So Joshua took the whole land according to all that the Lord said unto Moses, and Joshua gave it for an inheritance unto Israel according to their divisions by their tribes, and the land rested from war. Now, let's go over and look for just a minute, and we'll be done, at the death of Joshua. Go to Joshua chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24. And that'll get us through the death of Joshua today. Read 29 through 31. And man, I'm skipping a lot, so it would behoove you, good students of the Word, to go back and check a lot of these things that I'm skipping. I'm just hitting the high points. Joshua 24:29 says, "And it came to pass after these things that Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old." So he died. He lived 10 years less than Moses did, didn't he? Yeah, and they buried him, verse 30, in the border of his inheritance, in Timnath-Serah, which is in the Mount Ephraim, on the north side of the hill of Gaash. And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua, and which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel. We'll stop there today, but that carries us all the way through the Exodus, the crossing of the Red Sea, the giving of the law to Moses, the death of Moses, Joshua taking over Moses' position, leading the children of Israel up against across the river against the people of Jericho. That's a story you don't want to. That's an account in the scripture you definitely don't want to miss, is Joshua taking the city of Jericho, the walled city. I met Rahab there. Remember Rahab? Rahab is in the lineage of the Lord. The harlot is in the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. Interesting point. And then that takes us through all the battles wherein all these kings were smote by the edge of the sword under the leadership of Joshua, all the way up to the death of Joshua himself. So hopefully you've been able to hang in there with us on this and stay with us through this part F, the chosen nation called and blessed. Now we should be able to get through the rest of this maybe in one or two more studies, and then we'll move on down to the next heading. But we'll stop there for today. So bow with me if you would, and we'll close in prayer. Father, we thank you for this, your word today. We thank you for that we heard earlier from Barney and how it blessed our hearts. And Father, we thank you for this that we've been able to bring today, the history of your chosen people, the peculiar treasure. Father, we thank you so much for that you've recorded in your book so that we may know your thoughts and your ways better. Father, even as we strive to know and understand more about you and about our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, thank you for this word and what it means and what it brings. Thank you for all things that we have in him. Lord, be with those, as we mentioned earlier, that need a touch from you. All those under the hearing of my voice that may need uplifting in their body or in their soul or spirit. Father, we ask that you would bless them according to your will and your purpose. Be with us as believers. Continue to bless us and be with the leaders of our country, especially in this time. Lead, guide, bless, and keep us is our prayer, Father, in your will and in your word. For it's in his name we do pray. Amen. So let me stop the recorder here.